Things move absurdly fast in the AI world. It's even getting to me at this point. It feels like just last week we saw OpenClaw getting renamed from ClaudeBot because Anthropic was upset. Wait, that literally was last week. So why are we here now? Things got crazier, that's why. Peter's now joining OpenAI to work on OpenClaw full-time. This is huge. Normally I'd save the fun details for later on, but I think it's important to know, so I don't get accused of clickbait, OpenClaw will live in a foundation as an open source project that OpenAI will continue to support. So again, to be clear, OpenClaw is its own separate thing that exists outside of OpenAI, but is now being largely funded by them. This is a ton of implications for the entire industry, seeing a vibe-coded side project getting pulled into OpenAI in this way. It says a lot about how everyone's thinking, from OpenAI to Anthropic to open source builders like Pete himself. And of course, there's the Lex Fridman interview where a lot of this was touched on in such a way that we can dig into the details. Things like, how much money was Peter paid? What other companies were interested? And why did he not go with Meta? There's a ton to dive into here. And as always, none of these companies are paying me. I want to cover this to the best of my ability. But since I didn't just get bought by OpenAI, someone's got to cover the bills. We're going to take a quick break for today's sponsor. Has it ever been easier to vibe code an app and actually get it to prod? There are some catches, though. One of the things that's really hard to get right is auth. Unless you're using today's sponsor, WorkOS. These guys really get auth, and it's not just like a quick little library you're throwing in and praying and hoping for the best. It's enterprise-ready auth. All of the integrations that big businesses need are covered. That's why everyone from OpenAI to Snowflake to Carta to File to Vercel to Cursor to T3 Chat are all using them. WorkOS just gives us what we need to go to big businesses without meaningfully compromising on our DX, but giving us great packages, libraries, and integrations into things like React that you would normally have to go build yourself. And they're not just a sign-in button. They go way further than that. All of the things you need, like enterprise SSO, as well as an admin portal that you can use to onboard big companies and their weird IT setups. The Vault, which lets you handle encrypted data for your users. So for us in T3 Chat, we need a way to store the API keys that users bring if they choose to bring their own. We use Vault to encrypt them so we don't have to worry about that data anywhere near as much as we would otherwise. They even figured out auth for MCP, which is not a trivial thing to do. MCP auth, rough time. They put a lot of work into this and I've heard really, really good things. And just to emphasize the enterprise setup part, I love this quote. With our in-house solution, we had to spend 2 to 4 hours provisioning each SSO connection. Wanted to find a solution that would allow us to focus on building core product. Crazy is that took hours of annoying meetings and emails could now just be done by sending a link. Stop blocking your enterprise sales and sign up now at soydev.link/workOS. In order for any of this to make sense, we probably need to cover the timeline quick. I should have done a ClaudeBot video forever ago. I did do the Moltbook one, which I know y'all loved, but ClaudeBot's changing so fast that it's hard to cover because it almost feels like by the time I filmed the video, the names changed twice. The way the setup works is entirely different and you got to go a very different direction with it. So that's why I haven't talked about it too in depth. But believe me, I have been using it. Not for like really big projects, but for lots of small one-off things. For example, a common thing I do is archive videos. If there's a video I see on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, or something like, actually, before we even get there, I just caught myself describing how I use ClaudeBot. And remember, a lot of you guys might not know about it yet. ClaudeBot, now known as OpenClaw, is the AI that actually does things. What that means is you set it up on a computer, probably one on your own network that's an actual PC you own, rather than something that you'd put in the cloud, and you give it access to things. Everything from your iMessage to your Gmail, to in my case, it has access to my NAS, which is my local network storage that I keep a lot of data, media, and things I do content about on. The magic of OpenClaw is that it can do basically anything you can do on your computer, and since it's given pretty absurd levels of access to your machine, there's a lot of fun to be had with it. Also, a lot of danger. The skills system can do basically anything, but that means you have real risks. I've had friends accidentally send me 10,000 texts because they set up OpenClaw incorrectly, or even if they set it up correctly, it went a little bit rogue and started spamming me incorrectly. These things happen with it. They're also now partnering with VirusTotal and other similar safety-based companies to try and figure out how to make it as safe as possible. The difference from like running in normal mode in Claude code where you approve every change to running in dangerously skip permissions, that gap, again, is how you get to OpenClaw, where you're literally just letting it do anything it wants. There's a reason people love this. Once it's set up, you just talk to it through WhatsApp, Telegram, or anything. It almost feels like you're telling your computer what to do remotely. It is really cool, but it's also very dangerous. But the feeling of letting your computer be controlled this way is powerful, which is why OpenClaw is now the fastest growing GitHub project of all time. It now has more stars than Next.js, and it got there in a bit over a month. Wild. It's beating out Kubernetes, it's beating out Vite, it's beating out Bun. It's over halfway the way to React's stars on GitHub. Pretty nuts. I was also lucky enough to interview Pete, the creator of OpenClaw, at the first ever ClawCon in the city just a few weeks ago. It's crazy this was on the 4th, and it's now the 15th. It's been 11 days, and this has all happened in that time. In this interview we did, Pete called me his first fan, which is such a high honor. I've been a huge fan of his work since the old PSPDF kit days, which is his previous project before retiring for a bit and then coming back for all of this. But when I saw the way he thought about AI code, I was really impressed. This might be the GitHub page that has come up the most in my videos recently. Do you see the number of insane projects this guy is working on? This is because he has found the right ways to use these AI tools to be productive. But unlike most of us that just let these projects die on our computer, he actually ships. And that's why OpenClaw happened. People seem to think like, oh, you could have been the one to invent OpenClaw. Yeah, you could have. If you rolled the dice this many times first, you got to be realistic about it. Like, he got here because he built a ton of awesome stuff and also documented the way he thought about building. Pete is the real story here. OpenClaw is awesome, but Pete's way of building is even more awesome. He has so many pro tips, many of which I'm still working on internalizing, like the way he handles multiple projects, the fact that instead of doing multiple things in the same project at the same time, he uses the queuing feature heavily. He never reverts or uses checkpointing. He always just commits straight to main. All of his ways of building are fascinating, but they're so powerful once you lean into them. Like, this is the chaos of how he works at home. All of these terminals, all running codecs, to be clear. He does like Opus as a general purpose model, but not as a daily driver for coding. He's a big codecs guy. He beat us all to it. He's the reason I started using it more heavily too. So credit where it's due. He was way ahead of the curve with a lot of these things and more, which is a big part of why he could figure something like ClaudeBot out. He was pushing the limits of these models. A lot of that came from the fact that he had a 5-year hiatus before getting more into this AI code stuff. He built a business that was making it easier to manage PDFs on iOS. That went really well. He sold the shares, retired for a few years, like 5+, where he said he barely even used a computer. And when he came back, he got to skip the whole Copilot era. He got to skip the autocomplete era. He got to skip all of that and come in right as the models were getting really good and was more willing to lean into it than most. And that's how you got where he did. And ClaudeBot was meant to be a small one-off thing. It was originally a wrapper for using Claude code via WhatsApp so he could control a bit of his computer over a WhatsApp DM. And it went way further than he expected. Someone filed the Discord PR to add support there. He decided to make it a little more generic and support more different things. And ClaudeBot has just went absurdly far since. Then everyone's favorite comes in, Anthropic. You'd think that since ClaudeBot is leaning so heavily into Claude, because even this guy, Pete, who loves the Codex models, prefers using Claude models, prefers using Opus for ClaudeBot. You'd think Anthropic would be hyped. But the first contact he got from Anthropic was not from Anthropic, like, employees. It was from Anthropic's lawyers, because they saw this as a violation of their trademark. Not only did Anthropic push really hard to make him move the name and stop using Claude, even though it was spelled differently and is clearly not Anthropic, they made him give them the domains. So when he changed names, which he had to do very quickly, in fact, I should probably include the temp name here, Moltbot. He was so pressured that he had to rush out the release to change it over to Moltbot, had a lot of the ClaudeBot like handles and things get sniped under him as a result too, all because Anthropic was putting the pressure on saying, you need to change this now. This is kind of Anthropic's MO though. Like, we'll talk more about Anthropic versus OpenAI and why one would pick OpenAI, but remember this, Anthropic's lawyers were the ones he was talking to. So he renames to Moltbot. He doesn't love the name. It was just the first thing he had that was available in multiple places. Went okay. But then he snagged OpenClaw. At this point, he had connections with everybody at Twitter, on GitHub, and things like that, so he could do the handle swap a little more smoothly. And then he did a bold thing. He called Sam Altman to ask about the name. He wanted to make sure that OpenAI would be okay with the OpenClaw name. They were. And I suspect that the talking did not stop there, that it continued since, which would make this last step make a lot more sense. Peter Steinberger is joining OpenAI to drive the next generation of personal agents. He's a genius with a lot of amazing ideas about the future of very smart agents interacting with each other to do very useful things for people. We expect this will quickly become core to our product offerings. OpenClaw will live in a foundation as an open source project that OpenAI will continue to support. The future is going to be extremely multi-agent, and it's important to us to support open source as a part of that. Huge. So let's talk about why he would go to OpenAI. I haven't read his official announcement post yet. We'll do that after, so make sure you stick around so we can see this. First, I want to talk about my theories. The options, like the realistic ones, were Anthropic, OpenAI, and Meta. I'm going to focus more so on these two for now. We'll talk about Meta in a bit. Another important thing to know is that Pete doesn't really need money. He's been comfortably funding all of the dev server costs, all of the everything for OpenClaw for a bit. I think he was at like 12K a month or so. So Pete doesn't need the money. We've established that. He had his exit from his previous startup. He was funding everything fine. So this isn't just about like who will pay more, who will buy the thing for more, because he also doesn't want to sell it. He's looking for as much stability as possible going forward. If he's part of something like OpenAI or Anthropic, then the legal chaos when one of these companies, I won't say which, starts sending love letters from legal to him, that type of thing is really stressful, and he doesn't want to deal with it. This is one of the best benefits of working at a company. There are so many things you don't have to deal with. You don't have to manage payroll. You don't have to worry about equity management and like how people are getting paid and what their compensation looks like. You don't have to worry about having and retaining a legal team for when shit like this occurs. OpenAI is able to provide a lot of the comfort that you would need to comfortably work on a thing like this. It also means you don't have to worry about hundreds of investors coming in trying to get you to start a company or make a foundation or join another company and sell it or all of those things. It reduces all of the problem area and lets him do what he wants, which is lock in and build the thing. So let's talk a bit about other differences with Anthropic and OpenAI. The first thing that stands out to me is some of their open source philosophy. OpenAI has fully open sourced the Codex CLI, and not just like traditional open source, like source available or even just MIT. It is Apache license, so you can do whatever you want to it, versus Anthropic, who has sent more DMCA requests than any other company on GitHub. Anthropic accidentally included the source maps inside of Claude Code in an early release, and everybody who published those publicly available source maps got DMCA'd by Anthropic and had the repos removed from GitHub. Traditionally, it is impossible to reverse a publication on NPM. Once it is published, it's there forever because people might depend on it because it's included in dependency trees. One of the dozen or so times ever we've had a package fully removed for a reason other than malware was this. Thankfully, GitHub makes all of their DMCA requests public, so you can go see a lot of these here. I definitely thought it was more than this, but they usually link a ton of different repos for every report. GitHub now auto-blocks them. It was a big deal. I've seen so many people get hit with the DMCAs from Anthropic for publishing source code that they published themselves. So one example here. Then we have how they treat the subscriptions that they provide. So Anthropic has the $200 a month Claude Code sub, and OpenAI has the $200 a month Codex sub. It's like OpenAI Pro Plus or whatever, but you can use it for Codex. It's what I'm using for Codex. Anthropic's stance on this is that subs are only for their software, hard ban otherwise. I've seen so many people posting that their Claude Code account got banned because they did anything other than using the Claude Code CLI. They even hard-coded open code as a banned term. So if any of your headers, when you're using the Claude Code sub, mention open code, it just rejects at the API endpoint now, which is insane. Whereas OpenAI contributes to open code and other harnesses and has helped them set up Codex subscriptions within those harnesses. So you can use your OpenAI Codex sub in things like open code or even in GitHub Copilot. Anthropic really wants to treat the sub as a way to be locked into their product, not just a way to access their models for a discount. OpenAI is taking the opportunity to make their models and their subscription service way more appealing by not locking you into their stuff. You're hopefully noticing a pattern here. OpenAI keeps picking up the opportunities that Anthropic is dropping. Anthropic does something shitty around source code, OpenAI releases theirs fully open. Anthropic does something shitty with their subscriptions, OpenAI helps out competitors with using their subscriptions so that they can come out on top. There is also the open source angles from these companies as a whole. OpenAI has open sourced a ton of stuff, especially lately. They have their open weight models, they have the Harmony response format, they now have the full responses API format that is open source as well, that I hope more and more people adopt as an open standard. Anthropic has MCP, and they bought Bun. That's about it. And now we have what we're all here for today. Anthropic contacted Claudebot via lawyers, whereas with OpenAI, Pete has Sam's phone number. Hopefully you see why one of these is a much more obvious choice. Anthropic is the only company that's unwilling to standardize on things like the AgentMD file and a standard way to hold skills for your agents, where everything has to be the Claude file or the Claude directory. To this day, in a handful of my projects, I have to symlink Claude.md to AgentsMD so this one thing can continue to handle things its way. Whereas with OpenAI, they are now moving everything to AgentsMD, which is great. So with this all in mind, as well as the fact that he finds OpenAI's code models to be better at coding than Anthropic's models that are focused on coding, makes a lot of sense why OpenAI would be the position that he wants to be in the place he wants to go. This is a company that was threatening his mere existence. This is a company that is meaningfully encouraging his growth and success. Hopefully you guys are all starting to see a little bit of why I've been so harsh on Anthropic and so kind to OpenAI. OpenAI feels like a much better player in the space. I have not gotten bad vibes from them in all of the time I've interacted with them. Half the time I interact with Anthropic, something weird is going on. Even when I'm talking to employees that are like, yeah, this sucks, it's just how we do it. Yeah, I've been saying Anthropic's bad faith for a while, and I'm happy people are finally catching on to this fact. Like, it sucks because they have great models, they have great culture, they have a great team, but they are just too in their, like their head is just too deep up their own fucking ass to do the right thing. And OpenAI is more than happy to take that opportunity. And they certainly, certainly are. Someone just linked this video from 6 months ago, Anthropic has weird vibes. I got flamed for this one. When I talked about this 6 months ago, 70% likes, which means 30% dislikes, when my channel average is 95%. People were so mad at me for daring to speak up against our benevolent saviors at Anthropic. Thankfully, you're all over it because I was fucking right. But goddamn, like Anthropic's behavior has gotten so much worse. And I warned you all. I'm so thankful people are listening and noticing it now. But I was fully correct on that. And I stand behind every fucking word. Yeah, cool. Anthropic is going to kill themselves if they don't get over their shit and start behaving kindly in the space. And as always, you guys can take my advice. I'm not far from the office. I'm happy to come in and explain how to fix this. You open source Claude code, you stop being weird on fucking Twitter, and you acknowledge the fact that other models exist and are decent. It's not that hard. It's really not. Also, stop with the canceling of access. It is so strange that Anthropic goes out of their way to cancel access to their models from other companies they see as competitors. Everyone from Windsurf to OpenAI to XAI, just for like running benchmarks even. Like OpenAI cannot run benchmarks against Anthropic models because they're banned from using them. Meanwhile, I know a ton of Anthropic employees that personally maintain the $200 a month Codex sub and use it. It's insane. It's actually fucking insane. Yeah, so Anthropic was never an option here. OpenAI was clearly a better choice for Pete, but they were not the only choice. Meta was too. And Meta has their own benefits. Open source models, open source lineage, I would argue, where so much of Meta's work has been open source for a while. Huge projects like React and React Native that they've maintained forever now. Super important. They've been really good about that overall. I would be surprised if it wasn't the case that Meta was willing to pay more, especially after seeing some of the crazy acquisitions that Meta has made. But chances are this really just came down to vibes, and Pete had much better vibes from OpenAI. And I can say, personally speaking, the vibes at OpenAI are great. Like, I know it doesn't seem that externally, and I understand how jarring it is to see the difference between, like, the weird things that OpenAI has said on their Twitter account and the many misinterpretations of what Sam has said on Twitter, and the jarring gap between that and the perspective most people have to, like, how I and the others who have worked with and got early access to OpenAI stuff feel. They're just so real. I've never had a conversation with an OpenAI employee that felt like they were hiding something from me, or there was something that they would get in trouble if they said. I've had many an OpenAI employee say something that I would expect to have gotten them in trouble at almost any other company, to the point where it shocked me. I once had a point where I thought an OpenAI employee's Twitter account was hacked because they were being so upfront with me about stuff over Twitter. They're really, really good about this. Being transparent with the people who cover your shit and use your shit publicly is such a huge win. Anthropic does not do that at all. So many strings had to be pulled to get me a little bit of early access to some Claude code stuff, whereas OpenAI treats their collaborators great, be it as a business customer or as a public representative, or in this case, a potential collaborator like Pete. OpenAI treats people well. And as always, we got the stupid comments. Bro is paid by OpenAI. To anybody who thinks that I am actually being paid by OpenAI, here's the deal. I'll make this easy for you. Prove it. If you do, I will pay you every single cent OpenAI has paid me. And if you don't, all I will charge you is 1 month of my OpenAI fees on the OpenAI API. I currently pay OpenAI between $20,000 and $50,000 a month. They have paid me zero. I refused the single offer they gave me of a $1,000 appearance fee for a video. I declined it. OpenAI has never sent a cent to any of my bank accounts. If you can prove otherwise, not only are you going to get all of that money for yourself, I'm also going to go to jail because it's against the law. The reality is honestly kind of funnier. I'm nice to OpenAI because OpenAI is nice to me. I say nice things about OpenAI's products because OpenAI's products are good. I also talk shit on OpenAI's products when I don't think they're that good. I talk so much shit on Atlas that it's crazy to me anyone would say that I'm being paid. Like, it's actually absurd. But yeah, OpenAI is genuinely a great collaborator. I've had an awesome time working with them. They've been really transparent, really thorough, really kind. Just stupid things like, I want my team to have early access too so we can evaluate stuff together. So I just DM them and they do it. It's silly that this matters so much, but it does. They are nice to interact with. And in the end, that is what ends up mattering. Everybody's going to overanalyze things like, what's the strategy? How much money is this work? Why does he go here? Does he think the models are that much better? He's going to get paid more, that the long term he's going to have a higher return? No, none of that is why he made the decision he made. He made the decision because he wants to go somewhere that people will be out of his way and he can work on the things he's excited about. The place you work is more than the place that pays you. This is the culture you live within, especially if you're one of those people that likes to work 10-hour days, 6 days a week. You want to be the place where you have the best vibes. And OpenAI, of the options he had, has by far the best vibes. So let's see what Pete had to say. Because again, remember, all of this was my speculation. I have a feeling that we'll be aligned here because Pete's now become a decently close friend. I love this man to death. I'm so hyped for everything he has been doing. Let's see what he has to say. I'm joining OpenAI to work on bringing agents to everyone. OpenClaw will move to a foundation and stay open and independent. This is interesting. This seems to imply that his role at OpenAI won't just be OpenClaw. It is likely he will be building something like OpenClaw internally for OpenAI that will eventually become its own product. That is how I read this to an extent. I'm sure he'll still help with it a lot, but interesting. The last month was a whirlwind. Never would I have expected that my Playground project would create such waves. The internet got weird again, and it's been incredibly fun to see how my work inspired so many people around the world. There's an endless array of possibilities that opened up for me. Countless people trying to push me into various directions, giving me advice, asking how they can invest, or what I will do. Saying it's overwhelming is an understatement. Having talked to him during this time can confirm, poor guy was going through it. When I started exploring AI, my goal was to have fun and inspire people. And here we are, the lobster is taking over the world. My next mission is to build an agent that even my mom can use. That'll need much broader change, a lot more thought on how to do it safely, and access to the very latest models and research. Okay, so he is going to build something different. Confirmed. Yes, I could totally see how OpenClaw could become a huge company. And no, it's not really exciting for me. I'm a builder at heart. I did the whole creating a company game already, poured 13 years of my life into it, and learned a lot. What I want is to change the world, not to build a large company, and teaming up with OpenAI is the fastest way to bring this to everyone. Yep, there it is, the key. As someone who's also running a company, it fucking sucks. You'll never have less freedom than you do when running a business. Everyone seems to think becoming a CEO of a venture-backed company means you get all of the freedom in the world. They're lying to you. Every minute of every day, I am not doing things I should be that I'm obligated to do, and I'm holding back my team and I'm screwing over my investors, and it sucks. And I work really hard to balance it out by getting us the best distribution in the world and doing everything I can to make the business successful. Running a company is fucking exhausting, especially when you'd rather run a product. Pete spent the last week in San Francisco talking with the major labs, getting access to people and unreleased research, and it's been inspiring on all fronts. He wants to thank the folks that he talked to this week, and he's thankful for the opportunities. It's always been important to him that OpenClaw stays open source and is given the freedom to flourish. Ultimately, he felt that OpenAI was the best place to continue pushing his vision and expanding its reach. The more he talked to the people there, the clearer it became that they both shared the same vision. The community around OpenClaw is something magical, and OpenAI has made strong commitments to enable him to dedicate his time to it and already sponsors the project. To get this into a proper structure, he's working on making it a foundation. It will stay a place for thinkers, hackers, and people that want a way to own their data with the goal of supporting even more models and companies. Personally, he's excited to join OpenAI, be part of the frontier of AI research and development, and continue building with all of us. The claw is the law, with a photo from the OpenClaw meetup. Confirms a lot of the things I was thinking. Crazy to think that he's going to be building something different now, but I'm so excited to see what that is. To anybody who feels like engineering is dead or that like the future is just these small number of big companies running everything, I hope this helps prove the opposite. OpenClaw was so big that the labs couldn't clone it. They couldn't just do their own alternative. They couldn't kill it, even though, believe me, Anthropic definitely tried. The movements that are created by these tools are still bigger than the companies building them. And ClaudeBot, well, OpenClaw, had taken a life of its own and went so far that OpenAI had to pay him what is almost certainly a crazy salary with crazy equity in order to go there to build what could very well be the future of how people interact with AI. This is just another bet for OpenAI. They have a bunch of these different bets. This one is big, but this one is another bet. I'm excited to see where it goes, but more importantly, I'm just excited to see Pete win. This is somebody who showed up late, didn't let that slow him down. If anything, it sped him up. And as a result, he got to build incredible things. He didn't let anything get in his way. I've never seen somebody who was so consistently able to just fix the thing, and ship the thing. And if anyone deserves to win in this space, it is Pete. He has set a phenomenal example for future builders and future inspired developers in this crazy AI-driven world. And I really do hope this story can inspire some hope in all of you. In the end, nothing matters more than what you ship and how you show it off. So keep building cool shit, and maybe, just maybe, you'll get to change the world like Peter did. This was such a cool story, and I'm thankful I got to be part of it, as small as my part was. One last shout out to Peter for all he has done. It's so cool to see this win. And until next time, keep playing with Claudebot, and maybe, just maybe, compromise your network to see what the future looks like. Until next time, peace, nerds.